Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It's Boomer and Geo on The Fan and the CBS Sports Network.
From the Investors Bank Studio, Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti, Boomer and Gio on The Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. Good Tuesday morning. We are back in the studio. The Yankees continued to bash yesterday. Boomer set the over-under, what was 7.5, 8, somewhere around there. The Yankees hit 7 home runs yesterday, and Gleyber Torres has just completely pummeled the Baltimore Orioles single-handedly. It is absolutely outrageous what he has done against the Orioles and what the Yankees have done against the Orioles, and it doesn't matter who pitches. It really doesn't. Mantiply or Lale or guys who've been in the minors for decades coming up. It just doesn't matter as the Yankees continue to roll, and the Mets are about to embark on a very, very important series for them down in Atlanta. We'll get to some football today as well. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
You know, I'm doing great, Gio, and I certainly appreciated batting practice yesterday for the Yankees. That's extended batting practice for them when they play the Orioles. And look, doubleheaders late in the season really do tax your pitching staff. One of the reasons why, obviously, the Yankees brought up guys we had never heard of before. And hopefully those guys had a good time because they'll be sent right back down. And as Brian Cashman and the revolving door, that is his roster, continues, it's amazing how many players have had to participate throughout this year because of all of the injuries. And I still don't know if it's going to be enough. I mean, you know, Houston is... They're a good team, man. You know, I'm watching them over since it's the trade deadline, and I know that Greinke didn't have a great first start. I mean, they're a really good team. But, you know, so are the Yankees. But I just wonder, you know, and this is going to be the $100 million question for the Yankees, is their starting pitching enough? Is it enough to get them to where they want to go? And that is obviously winning the World Series, meaning most likely you're going to have to go through Houston and the Dodgers, most likely. There's a chance where that may not happen because it is baseball, and we all know about baseball and the unpredictability nature when it gets to that level. But you feel like the Yankees all year long, when they came back, this was going to be their year. That they were close last year, and they were dealing with the Red Sox last year, and that they were going to come back, and they were going to be the ones to be dealt with. And for the most part, they have been.
Sure.
And it has been a collection of guys that nobody could have ever expected. And Gio Urshela, I think, and DJ LeMayor are the two guys that, you know, sit atop of that. And then, of course, when you have your healthy Torreses and Sanchez's and guys like that. And again, you know, and Aaron Judge is not even going yet.
No, he hasn't been. And you saw Giancarlo Stanton show his face in the dugout of the second game. And there was some injury updates yesterday. Not so much on him, but Severino threw off flat ground. Dellin Betances had a bullpen session. Those guys came out of that well. Luke Voit was around there sprinting yesterday. So they had some positive injury news with some of these guys that we haven't seen in a long, long time, including Severino and Betances, and Severino said that he thinks he can get stretched out enough to be able to be a starter for the Yankees in the postseason. That's what his hope is. We'll see if that's maybe a little bit too enthusiastic, but that could be a major, major factor for them. And it's tough to really judge the Yankees when they're playing the Orioles and the Blue Jays and the Orioles again. You talk about the starting pitching. Is it good enough? How the hell am I supposed to tell? I see James Paxton give up another first inning run. And in the second game, you know, you see a bullpen game. You see Chad Green, then Mantiply and Lale, and they had to use Ottavino late in the game.
Yeah,
because
I don't think they wanted to use
Ottavino. No, of course they didn't.
But they had to obviously win the game and get guys out. But you're right. I mean, it's hard to say what exactly they're going to look like come the playoffs. So it's, what, August 13th today. So let's just say 4 weeks from now. We're in the middle of September.
Yep.
And is any one of those guys, you know, from Betances to Severino, are they going to be back and available in some capacity to the Yankees?
Yeah, I think so. I especially Betances. Apparently, Betances was in the reporting on yesterday in a broadcast last night. Like, he was thrilled with the way that he felt. He had no, and he was, it was a bullpen. Like, he was off a mound,
you know,
in the bullpen.
I have a really hard time believing any of that crap.
Why?
I mean, because I hear, like, you know, Andujar, I feel great. Then he comes back, and then, you know, then he's gone for the rest of the year.
Yeah, but he had a torn.
I know, but I'm just, it's like, these guys have been gone for so long. Mm-hmm. It's almost like
that you forget that they have existed.
Yes. And then when you're here, they feel great. And then, you know, along comes a setback somewhere along the line.
Yeah, I guess. And we have seen a lot of that, especially with Giancarlo Stanton, where he came back. We saw him play in a couple of games and then he was gone again.
I'm telling you, if they get back Betances and Severino can be used in some longer form than, you know, just one inning here or coming out of the bullpen. I mean, and he's effective as he was at the beginning of last year, which is saying a lot, by the way. You know, there's a lot of guesswork that's going into all this, and maybe Brian Cashman knows something that the rest of us don't know, and I would like to think that he does, that these guys will be available. And he was counting on that because he didn't want to give away all that was being asked for to require just some random pitcher that was not going to make a difference.
Sure. But I mean, I do think right now when you look at the first three starters for the Yankees in a postseason series, I mean, do you feel great about Tanaka, Paxton, and an opener game?
No, I do not.
Because that's basically what we're looking at.
Herman's going to pitch.
Yeah, okay.
He'll be in there. He'll be in there somewhere. It's not going to be an opener game.
At some point, we'll have an opener game in the postseason.
I can also see them, if CeCe Sabathia comes back strong, I could also see them using him for five innings, or four innings for that matter, and being part of that opener kind of mentality, if you will.
Well, maybe Severino's that guy, too. You know, maybe because he isn't stretched out, he could be that guy, too.
We, you know, this all of this is just maddening and frustrating until we finally get to those games that truly do matter. Because none of this matters, right? I mean, it matters, but it's just like a futile exercise in batting practice yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like watching the Orioles is just horrendous.
Yeah, anybody who has to watch that team, beat writer, broadcaster. I mean, Paul O'Neill went into the Orioles booth.
I know he did.
Gary
Thorne said, get out of here.
Yeah, right. Just to mess with them.
Jim Palmer looks stunned over there. The former great pitcher for the Orioles sitting in there as the analyst going out. I can't explain any of this. That's what it looked like to me.
I mean, seriously, I can't imagine watching that team every day. I really couldn't. I mean, and they have given up more home runs than anybody in like the history of the game.
I was trying to think, if you and I were in Baltimore sports talk,
we wouldn't talk about the Orioles.
I mean, and this morning I think it would be all Ravens, right?
No, it'd have to be. I mean, there's nothing, unless you're just pounding on them and it's like a global discussion about the organization and where they're going. I mean, I don't even know what the hell you could say. I mean, the Yankees are 39 and a half games up on the Orioles. Think about that. 39 and a half games up on the Baltimore Orioles, who are now 39-80.
And they're still not the worst team in the league.
No, I know. Well, they're not. Yeah, because you got the 35-80 Detroit Tigers. But the Orioles have given up more home runs. They've given up more runs by a lot. I mean, they've given up over 100 more runs than the Detroit Tigers.
Well, I guess they are the worst team in the league then.
I mean, think about that. And then the minus 237 in their run differential.
I don't know how you can go to the ballpark every day without just absolutely pulling your hair out.
Yeah. But you know what? The Yankees, Gleyber Torres sees the Baltimore Orioles, and it's like, I mean, he's Babe Ruth.
Yeah, but did you hear him after the game last night? I thought he was really good. You know, it's like, you know, it's not like I get excited for the Orioles. I just get up there and I try to do my job, and it just so happens
that they have the worst pitchers in the history of baseball.
And that they feed him. And, you know, last night, even one of those home runs, he had to go down and get one of them. I think the second one was like right over the plate. Like a meatball right over the plate. It looks like an Edwin Diaz fastball, you know, flat slider is what it looked like.
Yep.
And that's the kind of thing that's going on. When you think about the amount of home runs that he has against Baltimore, 13. So Roger Maris for the Yankees had 13 against the White Sox. Joe Adcock had 13 against Brooklyn. Hank Sauer had 13 against Pittsburgh. Jimmy Fox, 13 against Detroit. Gleyber Torres is right behind Lou Gehrig, who had 14 versus Cleveland back in 1936. Wow.
I mean, look at these. All right, 32, 54, 56, 61, 36, and then 2019.
Do you think, I mean, I don't know, the ball is going to have to be looked at for next year. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, it is. But I also think there's a lot of really, really bad teams. And then when you have really bad teams, you have really bad pitching, you got really bad middle relief, horrific bullpens. I mean, that's what I think what's going on. And they just happen to see a lot of them in the American League. When you think about the Royals, the Tigers, the Orioles, the Blue Jays, I mean, these teams are just so, so bad, and they're throwing out these guys. Listen, if Joe Mantiply can find his way onto the Yankees, think about how bad some of these pitchers are on these other teams.
Well, I think the Yankees took a chance yesterday, and they brought up some AAA guys to pitch against the AAA team.
Yeah, that's
knowing that the pitchers for the Orioles may not even be good enough to make it into AAA. I don't even. I mean, it's like, who's their pitching coach? I feel bad for that guy, whoever he is.
Yeah, I don't know.
Could you imagine having Jim Palmer up there every day, every game, doing the analysis?
Right, and watching that crap. I mean, they must get paid well. You know, maybe they have a lot of fun. They go out to some dinners. I don't know. But just to watch that massacre every single night.
You know, and going out for some dinners, speaking of that.
Yeah.
All right. So I guess Saturday or Sunday, A-Rod's in San Francisco, and he's going to do Sunday Night Baseball, right? And unfortunately, I didn't know this, but Jessica Mendoza got into a car accident.
Yeah, pretty bad one. She had to miss the game.
So she had to miss the game, but I think she'll be back in on Sunday, so we wish her the best. A-Rod had over $500,000 of jewelry and money and electronics stolen from his rented SUV 3 blocks away from Pac Bell Park, where they were having dinner with the crew.
Right.
So $500,000 worth of crap in a rent-a car? What are we doing?
Well, when you're A-Rod, that's a drop in the bucket, right? So jewelry items. So he must have had at least a couple of $100,000 worth of jewelry, right? That's probably the biggest thing. A bag. So the bag is some sort of
Louis Vuitton
Hermes. Yves Saint Laurent. One of those things.
Not even Yves Saint Laurent. I think you can get Yves Saint Laurent at Macy's.
Well, I don't know.
This is like one of these places on Madison Avenue that you got to go in there, and it's probably a $15,000 bag or something.
Yeah, right. So
I get it. But
a Gucci backpack with a tiger logo on it.
I mean, $500,000 worth of crap in your car?
And then a laptop, which can't be that expensive. But yeah, I mean, it had to be like a watch
or something. You think the laptop has any photos on it that may interest some people?
I hope not. Is he that stupid? To be leaving a laptop with a bunch of photos on it that people would be interested in is rent a car outside of Oracle. I mean, come on. It was parked a couple of blocks away from Oracle. You always talk about how they over there.
Smash and grab. Yeah, smash and grab. You don't want to rent a car. You don't want to even own a car in San Francisco because this is the new tact by the
folks out there.
Some of the folks out there that they'll smash the back window of your car and take whatever you got in that car. We were out there for Super Bowl 50, and I remember one of the local TV stations doing a gotcha segment,
right,
where they put all this stuff in the back of a van, and the van did not have tint on the windows or anything, so you could see in there.
Okay.
And the van was parked in a spot for about 2 days, and they just kept camera on it, surveilling it. And then, of course, two or three guys came and smashed the windows and took everything out. And then, obviously, the cops showed up and everybody showed up and nailed the guys.
No, it's great.
I mean, but this is the new tact. Well, not new, but this has been a tact out there now for quite some time. So A-Rod should have known this.
Yeah, of course he should have. He should have never had that. I mean, to think about, in my car, all I've got is, empty Poland Spring bottles and a couple of free T-shirts I never took out of there. You know, when someone throws, a T-shirt, I throw it in the car. I still got my Knicks jacket in the back of that car, I brought in that day, because I'm not allowed to bring it back in the house. My wife said, if that thing leaves the house, it's not coming back in the house. So that's all I got in my car. But this guy is just, I don't know, he's sort of a, he's a little bit of an airhead.
500 grand.
He's an airhead. He's just
worth
leaving
of
stuff
crap.
Around. Yeah. I mean, it had to have been.
How can you do, who travels with all of that? And I mean, I don't know where he's going after this or where he went in between the games. I don't know where the Sunday night game is this week, but I mean, that's crazy.
It had to be a watch.
I would think of maybe a $250,000.
That's
maybe
half
Rolex
of it right there.
With diamonds or something.
And then the bag. The bag was probably, 15, 20, something like that.
You think he wears, his World Series ring around? Does
he
get an MVP
it, yeah.
ring that he wears around or something
like
that?
Yeah, but what's the value on that? I mean, that's like a personal thing. It's not like, I guess you could probably hawk that, but then you'd be caught. I don't know. I think it's when you're A-Rod, it's easy to rack up $500,000 worth of stuff. You could easily. Even two items, you could do it. You could have two watches that are worth $250,000 if you're A-Rod. It's nothing. Especially now he's with J-Lo. Who knows? Maybe they got a joint checking account.
They're nah, just, I don't think they have a joint checking account. There's no way J-Lo is allowing him in her account. There's
maybe.
No way.
Well, it's not like he's
no
a slouch.
Way. Absolutely not.
I mean, this guy's got, you know, he's got enough money to survive on his own, that A-Rod.
Yes, he does. But that's why, you know, she doesn't want him touching her money.
Yeah, no, I get it. I totally get it. But yeah, that was, it was, of course.
That's
of course
crazy.
It was A-Rod. You know, of course it was San Francisco.
And the other crazy thing is, I remember when Sebastian Telfair got arrested.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay,
yeah.
So this is back in 2017. But the details of the arrest, you know, it was kind of like passed off as he had a loaded gun in his glove compartment of his truck. Well, it turns out that it was just a little bit more than a loaded gun, that he pretty much had an arsenal in his truck when he got pulled over.
Yeah, it was, and I don't even know if he was pulled over. He was stopped in the median somewhere with his lights off.
It says a traffic stop.
Yeah, right.
So he may have... I don't know if he was pulled over and then turned the lights on.
His lights off and they smelled weed coming from the truck. And he had three loaded handguns, a submachine gun, ammunition, and a ballistic vest. That's what he had in there. They got 3.5 years convicted.
3.5 years convicted. The toughest gun laws in America right here in New York City.
Yeah, so that was...
Well, I mean, you know, it'd be one thing. Like, he also, if you remember, earlier in his career, he got arrested and had 3 years probation when he only had just a gun in his car and it was loaded.
Right.
Now, 10 years after the fact, 10 years after that initial arrest, he gets arrested with an arsenal in his truck.
All stuff that was legally registered in Florida, but because it wasn't registered here and he was here, then...
This is why I'll never forget, you know, the NFL goes to great lengths, and this obviously reminds you of Plaxico Burress and all that other stuff.
Sure.
The NFL goes to great lengths to tell the players, do not bring your guns. You know, if you live in Florida, you live down south somewhere where the gun laws are a little bit more lax than they are here, they go to unbelievable lengths to remind the players, do not bring your guns. Because most of these players, believe it or not, own guns. They own guns. They either own guns for sport, they own guns for protection. They feel like they need the guns. They've grown up with guns. They're very comfortable with guns. And they go to great lengths to tell the players, do not bring the guns. To the point where I remember in Ohio, his name, I think it was Charlie Jackson, worked for the NFL security department. And he would always come and give a presentation to our team. And the first thing he would say, he goes, I know you have guns. I know there are guys in here who are stupid enough to bring their guns to training camp. I want those guns out of here. I want them packed up, and I want to get them out of here. And he was yelling at the guys.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, I'm looking around, who has guns? And I don't have guns.
Yeah, like the entire, everybody, like the whole defense.
And then
right?
then you realize that the gun ownership in the NFL is significant.
Sure.
I mean, it is, I don't know, I can't tell you percentages, but it is a commonplace thing.
Right.
Especially if you're like, you know, from Texas or... you know, somewhere down south where, like I said, gun ownership is just another thing you own.
Sure.
You know?
Right.
But then you bring your guns here and they tell them, get them out of here, guys, because you do not want to go to jail. They are not fooling around if they pull you over and you are not registered here in the state of New York or the city of New York.
Yeah, Sebastian Telfair learned the hard way,
and
that's for sure.
He's from here.
Right. I know. And apparently he was going nuts in court and that's a victimless crime and he's screaming, but... Listen, man, you got three loaded handguns, a submachine gun, the ballistic vest and ammunition, and you're just chilling in the street, smoking weed. Something bad's going to happen to you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.